The Beer of the Day podcast contains adult language, adult beverages, and brief nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day Podcast. We recently got back from our trip to the New England area, and we brought back beers from a bunch of different breweries in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. And we're going to try those tonight and next episode as well, and we have 12 different beers to try. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how's it going?
Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Kira Hopkin, and from Pasadena, we have Jeff Miller and special guests Lance Burks and Hugo Padilla. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this show for a while. We brought back a bunch of beer from Vermont, mainly, and Maine and New Hampshire. And it took about a week for the shipment to get back. And 50 pounds of beer arrived just last weekend. And so we're ready to try some beer tonight. First beer we have from Smutty Nose Brewing Company in Hampton, New Hampshire. Our only New Hampshire beer tonight. And this was kind of the first beer of the trip, right? The first brewery.
It was. We went to this place at about 11 a.m. Yes. And we had a red eye. We took a red eye and we drove. We got into Boston and we rented a car and we showed up at the brewery at 11 a.m.
And they opened.
They were not open.
They opened at 12, but their little restaurant and tasting room, the Haystack, what was it called? It was open. And we went in there, and it was actually the best place to go because they had all their Smutty Nose beers on tap and then a couple other guest taps as well. So we got the sampler, and I got their pumpkin beer because for some reason after that pumpkin show, I was having a craving for some pumpkin beer. And pretty good selection. They have the whole gamut of beers. They probably had 14 or 16 different beers of different styles. And had a good vibe. I mean, it was a beautiful day, blue skies, really kind of green grass everywhere. It's kind of like a farm. There's a barn out there, and then the brewery on one side, which is a kind of a big barn itself, and then the tasting room, which is a restaurant, and friendly people, maybe 20 or so people in there, and it was a good experience.
And this was one of the better beers that we had there. I think it was the first beer. It's the Pilsner, and it's a straw yellow color. It's called the Wunderbar Pilsner.
Slightly hazy.
Like I said, a straw yellow color. Very light colored. Very small, thin head.
Slightly hazy, like Britton said. 4.9%.
It smelled a little skunky to me at first, but then the longer it sat in the glass, I think that kind of went away.
Yeah. Aroma, I get like kind of a corn, a little bit of a like a fructose sugar type of aroma.
Does anybody smell kind of like champagne smell?
Yeah, I can get that.
I kind of get like a slight aftertaste of the champagne.
Kind of the dryness.
The dryness, exactly.
From like a Martinelli's. Then.
I'm pleasantly surprised with the way it tastes, though. It's pretty mild. It's not bitter. It doesn't have any like aftertaste to me.
Very crisp on the aftertaste.
Yeah.
And it's low on the sweetness. When I smelled it, I thought, oh, this might be a little bit of a sweeter one. Thinking back to last week and that Killa Pils, this one is substantially less sweet. It's not really bitter, but it's just dry in the finish.
Now, we've done a Smutty Nose beer on the show before.
Bouncy.
And I remember it being like kind of watery. And I don't get that from this. This is a light beer. No doubt, but it doesn't have that texture.
No, it doesn't.
It's enjoyable.
The Bouncy House IPA that we had on this show, I think it was kind of an older one that we ended up getting.
Yeah, it's in the fridge.
They didn't even have that beer anymore. There was a little sign of it in the gift shop of that it had once existed, but they didn't have it on tap or any sign of it there.
This is really like your classic Pilsner. I mean, it's got the corn taste that somebody mentioned, but and a little bit of sweetness, but it's just refreshing. And this is a beer you could drink any day of the year. I mean, it's the warm weather type of classic Pilsner that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Okay, well, before we get into the next beer, did anyone have any beers they wanted to mention that they had this week?
I had one that I'll mention first.
Oh, okay.
Well, and I say this because I really want to mention this beer. So it's October. It's sort of the fresh hop season. And I had from Fremont Brewing Company, Andy's favorite brewery in Seattle. I had one of their filled to ferment beers, and they make four different ones, four different hops. And the one I had was with Mosaic, and it was just delicious. It was canned, and I had it maybe like about a week after it was canned. It was super fresh and just very tasty. It's a pale ale. It's 6%. And I really love this time of year when we have the fresh hop beers straight out of, you know, they're harvested and they're put into the fermenter 24 hours after they're harvested. It was just delicious. So if you can find it, the Fremont Brewing Company filled to ferment series, they make four different ones. They're all delicious.
Excellent. Well, we're recording this on Friday. So tomorrow I'm going to the Single Fresh Wet and Wild Hop Harvest Festival in Sierra Nevada. They do like a lot of single hop IPAs. Hopefully I'm going to get to try some of that same style. Looking forward to it. All right, let's get into the next beer. We have from Maine Beer Company. This is the Beer 5, Roman numeral 5, lager, stepping up to 5.2%.
It's similar in color to the last beer we had, the Wunderbar. It's that hazy straw color.
A little bit darker, but not much.
And a little bit more cloudy than the previous Pilsner.
And a little more head.
Whoa.
We're saying whoa because it has a lot of hop smell that comes off of it in a really good way. It's.
But if you were blindfolded and someone gave this to you and you smelled it, would you think lager?
No, you'd be like.
Not at all.
Yeah,
it smells like a session IPA.
Yeah.
And this is a Northeast style show. I think these first two beers are the only lagers on the entire show.
What does it say on the front of that bottle, Andy? It says something about hop something.
The
hop,
front
hop experiment or
hop program.
Oh, hop program.
Yeah. So beer 5 is a hoppy lager brewed with classic German hops that produce an intricate combination of grassy, spicy, and floral notes. Wakatu, a New Zealand hop, gives it a hint of lime zest.
I'm getting a little of that Wakatu.
I like the Wakatu myself.
I like how much hoppiness there is without the IBUs.
Yeah.
Associated with this style. Because we have had some hoppy lagers that can be actually hoppy as well as bitter. And this does not have it. So it adds for a very complex lager that I like a lot.
There's a bit of a bite that must be coming from the lime. That I like a lot. It kind of ends any bitterness that might be there, and it's more like citrusy than it is bitter.
Yeah, the hop flavors here are really just outstanding. You get the, it's a very full hop flavor, kind of tropical, or I guess you could say it's floral.
I would say it's New Zealandish. I don't speak their language, but.
So let me tell you guys about this brewery. So. Maine Beer Company, we've heard of it. We had very high expectations, and I think they delivered on every level. Like, we went to this place our very first night. Every single beer was excellent. I mean, we brought a ton of beers home with us, but we'd have a flight where, you know, we go into a brewery, we say we want one of everything. I think they had 8 beers on tap. Dallas, anybody else?
Yep.
Probably 8 beers on tap. Every single beer. Whether it was this lager, I think this was the only lager, the rest were ales. Every single beer was excellent. And, you know, hands down, first day, this was the best overall experience because, I mean, not the brewery experience. We just went and had beers, but every single beer was delicious.
It was very good. It's a real small place. I mean, it's just kind of off the highway there in Freeport. And you walk in and there's the beer bar. And then there's a glass window with all the brewing stuff out in the warehouse outside. And then there's maybe six or so tables that you can sit at. And the place was pretty packed. Definitely a good experience.
And I think it was one of the first breweries that was highly recommended when we first walked into the first store that we walked into. They recommended that we come and check this out. And I think their motto was do the right thing. And I really do think that they did really the right thing on all these beers. They were all really pretty tasty.
Yeah, I think their thing is they give 1% of every off the top to charity. So that do the right thing is their motto, and it's plastered all over the place.
Nice.
Well, we have another beer from the same brewery. It happens to be called Another One. This is an IPA.
Very fitting.
7%. And they had several IPAs. You may have heard of Lunch before.
Yeah, it's...
Yes.
Right before dinner?
After breakfast?
They do have dinner.
They have dinner, too. It wasn't available when we were there. We only had the lunch menu.
So this one is the same color, but more clear. There's like an almost indetectable haze, but it's fairly clear.
Yeah.
A lot of head.
Ton of head. Doesn't really look like an IPA to me.
No. Kind of a thicker coating of head.
It has a similar...
Slicing a lot.
It has a similar smell as the previous beer, except that it's actually not as hoppy smelling.
It's a little less hoppy smelling, and it's more of a earthy type of dank hops than the more floral, tropical hops of the previous lager.
Yeah, it was like a pungent floral before, where this one doesn't have that. You're right.
So something I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot more over the course of the night is this is the first beer that starts to get a little hazy. It's not clear like the IPAs we're used to on the West Coast, right? It's a little hazy. I like the color. It's not bright. It's just hazy. It's 7% IPA, smells delicious. Another one.
Yeah. So Jeff's right. As this show progresses, everything's going to get hazier and hazier. And that's the new, it's all the rage in the craft beer industry. Mm-hmm. Even breweries here in California are trying to get the haziness of these East Coast beers. Track 7 is big on trying to get
Moonraker with their Yojo. That's the
Moonraker Yojo. Yeah, that's a big one. Some of the breweries are throwing flour in it. They're cheating.
But this beer is really juicy. Like, we're going to have some juicy beers tonight, but this starts out like we don't drink a lot of juicy IPAs, but this is juicy. I mean, you start to get the flavors on this one.
Yeah. It's very, a little sweetness. It's not overkill on the hops. It's definitely not overkill on the bitterness. There's not much bitterness to this beer at all. Great flavor, mild aftertaste, and very drinkable.
I'd like to have another one.
And another one.
I think when we compare the main beer company beers to the other beers that we had up in the Northeast, they tend to be a little bit lighter, which I really enjoy.
So this reminds me a lot of a beer called Truth IPA from Ryan Geist in Cincinnati. It's the same flavor profile to me, except for it has way less bitterness than Truth has. Truth is a pretty bitter beer, but it reminded me a lot of that style of hops.
I'm actually really enjoying this one because I think, in general, bitterness overwhelms my palate and I can't as easily pick out like distinguishable flavors. This one really is subtle on the bitterness. And so I think Jeff described it as juicy. On my first taste, I thought more like hop oily. Like, I know that Joel has described IPAs before as hop oil. I just felt like it tastes really like concentrated hop to me, but not in a bad way.
Yep.
Something that I found consistent throughout all of the main beers, to touch on what Britton was saying. I know that she kind of tends to not like the bitterness in some of the IPAs, but it seems like the main beers have like a palpable break in their finish. There is no lingering flavors in it. As soon as you're done with a sip, no flavors are left on your palate. And I think that's a consistent theme of all of their beers, which is maybe why Britton likes this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And at 7%, I mean, that's getting up there in the alcohol. And I don't get a whole lot of alcoholic kick on this. I think the 7% is pretty well hidden. All right. Well, let's crank it up one more notch. We're going to go with the Venture from Foundation Brewing Company in Portland, Maine. This is a what they call a Maine IPA. So it's going to be Northeast style. I think it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't pretty similar compared to another one. But we crammed a lot of IPAs into just a few short days. So we'll have to see if my memory serves.
So this is a brewery that we went to. It was recommended to us. I mean, we didn't know anything about this brewery before this trip. And we went to Allagash, and which we'll have one of their beers in a few minutes, but went to Allagash, and everybody at Allagash recommended this beer.
Yeah, the people at Allagash recommended this beer. This brewery is just across the street from Allagash.
So this brewery or this beer?
This brewery.
Yeah, this brewery. It's like 10 feet away from Allagash.
And the brewers of Maine Brewing Company were sitting at the bar at Allagash, and they recommended this place too. So he said, okay, well, before you go anywhere, just walk across the street and go to this place. And so we did, and it was great. The brewery itself is much smaller than Allagash, obviously. It's a pretty small operation. They had their tasting room, bar, maybe three people working there pouring beers, and then off to the side is their warehouse with their brewing equipment. Very kind of modern decor, like very white walls, white bar, kind of modern bar stools, furniture, that type of thing. Good feel. And
I mean, it's a really close-knit community. We're at Allagash, and the brewers who work at Maine Beer Company are sitting at Allagash, as Dallas mentioned. And then we walk across the street to Foundation, and the assistant brewers from Maine Beer Company are sitting at Foundation. So it's like there's three breweries that are all, these are like the three best breweries in Maine, in my opinion, and they all are there to support each other.
Yeah, very close-knit community.
So I feel like this one is a little bit darker, not by much, but a little bit. The thing that's interesting to me about it is that you can tell it's hazy, but you can see like the actual particular matter in it, whereas the other ones that are hazy are just kind of like this nebulous cloud, haziness.
Right.
Yeah.
Here you can see this is like the particle suspension.
Yes. So that's kind of new for me. I feel like that was a great call.
Great call, Britton.
And this place had four IPAs, so we just sort of picked one of them. Great service there. There's a lady named Jessie who works there who was extremely friendly. And we had a great time hanging out with Jessie on our trip.
I believe she highly recommended the lagers.
The lagers from other breweries.
This one smells more malty than the others that we've smelled, and I'm picking up like a little apple or something.
Yeah, this is like very East Coast, but it's like I took my first sip and it was just like getting hit by a truck compared to all the other beers we've had so far.
Yep.
Yeah, really? You're going from a 7% beer to an 8% beer, which is a 1% different in ABV, but it tastes like you're having 5% more ABV.
Yeah.
It definitely is stronger. Little more to this one. It's a little less subtle than another one. And like Jeff said, this was, I think they had five IPAs. The Epiphany, is that what it was called? I think that was their most popular one.
I think that one was our favorite one. They didn't have it in cans to bring back, but this one I thought was really,
this was like a
really
second,
good beer. I think very bright flavors in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one to me is a little bit more bitter than the others, kind of like what Andy said, going from like the our previous beers to this one, it's a lot more substantive. But even so, comparing it to West Coast IPAs, it's still not, you know, like the bitter hop bomb that you get out here.
But do you guys think it's a different type of hops? Like, is it a more juicy type of hops? I mean, we're used to very West Coast style hops that are a little bitter, like the citrus.
I'm gonna call them juicy, just subtle.
And I also think it has to do more with also the hops and the types of yeast they're using. We use a lot of very particular yeast, a lot in like the Sierra Nevadas and Stone. They use a lot of West Coast style yeast that's used a lot throughout the Pacific region.
Yeah, but I'm not getting, I mean, on the hops here, like I'm getting some pine on this. Mm-hmm. And it says it's called a Maine IPA. But I'd say this is more, even more traditional than a classic Northeast IPA. It's not all that cloudy. It has a kind of a bitter hop profile. So, you know, I would classify this more as just a standard IPA more than so than a Maine IPA.
It says it should provide flavors of berries, tropical fruit, citrus, and pine. I don't get maybe the berries, but I don't get the tropical citrus.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm only picking up bitter.
I'm picking up bitter the pine.
Yeah, yeah. It's more piney to me than anything.
Yeah, piney, sweet, and bitter. But also, I'll say this is a very good beer. I think there are days on this podcast where this would be the beer of the day. It's hard because the previous beer we had, another one, that's another one IPA, was such a well-balanced 7% ABV beer that you're going from something that's really well-balanced to something that's a little bit more malty and sweet.
Agreed. Yeah, I think with an overload of IPAs, you can get a little palate fatigue. I think we should shift gears now to a little bit of a different style. And
woo!
Try out the Allagash.
That was different.
That woke me up.
So 16 counties is named after the fact that there are 16 counties in Maine. And this is the first beer that Allagash has done using only malts from Maine. So only recently have they even had enough malt production in Maine itself to be able to do that.
And to make a beer?
To make a beer. So this is the beer.
They have rough winters there.
They sure do. Luckily we were there, during the beginning of October. Couldn't have been better weather, 75 degrees, blue skies, all the leaves were changing, just beautiful driving around there. I don't think if you could have handpicked a better weekend to go out of the whole year.
So let's talk about this beer real quick. This is like the first sort of Belgian-y style that we've had tonight. I think a lot of Allagash beers have a Belgian style, right? That's what they're known for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went on the tour there, and Lindsay was our tour guide, and she took us around the whole brewery, every aspect of it, we had the grand tour. This was, I don't know how long we were there, 2 hours?
Yeah.
And it was very thorough, and I mean, we learned a lot about Allagash. They couldn't have been more accommodating. They let us try up all the beers to begin with, and then we went on the tour, and then we stopped at a beer bar and tried some beers there, and then we continued the tour, and we stopped at another bar and tried some sours. Then we went to the other bar, and we had like a special bottle of beer that they pulled out of their vault.
Whoa.
It was a really great experience.
I mean, we got the VIP tour. Lindsay hooked it up. The whole trip, this was the best brewery experience we had, right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So they talked about why the decision to go with the Belgians. So, I mean, they started in, can't remember what year, 97 or something. And there wasn't a lot of Belgian-style beers being brewed here. It wasn't really a thing, but the founder of Allagash had something equivalent to Allagash White in Germany, and he says, well, why don't this be our beer? Why doesn't this like separate us from all the other beer that's being brewed in the US? And so that's the road they went down. And most of their beers are a take on Belgian styles, and then they have an entire sour program that's completely separate, and it's more of the Belgian style lambic beers.
Well, and their number one beer is the Allagash White, which we had on a previous episode where we had a bunch of white ales. I was shocked to hear that Allagash White is 80% of their production. I mean, I knew it was high, but 80% is very high. And that surprised me. But, you know, the Allagash White pays the bills, and it allows them to focus on, you know, they focus on the Allagash White, but then it allows them time and money to dedicate to all these other beers. And they made a lot of other excellent beers. And we just had a great time. We had some wild ales. We had a bunch of stuff that we don't normally get. I mean, their beers are readily available in California. We had some beers that you can't get in California. And just our whole experience there was really awesome.
How many different styles of, I'm sorry, not different styles. How many different beers did you guys have from Allagash to taste?
They had a lot.
Probably 10.
Yeah, maybe 10. But like Jeff said, 80% of their beer, Allagash White. Less than 1% of their beer is their sours. But it seems like about 50% of their effort goes into making the 1% sours.
Right.
You know, sure. So they mass produce this one beer, and then that allows them the freedom to concentrate on all these other beers. Big company. It's the 27th biggest brewery in the country. But they still maintain a very small company feel. Any employee, they have like a brew system that's separate from their main production. If any employee has an idea for a beer, wants to go use it and brew a beer, they can do that. Whether it's whoever it is in the company.
The janitor.
Yeah. So, and they've been able to do that in the past and came up with some really good ideas on beer just by the experimentation that their employees do. So that was very cool. The other thing is they have this cool ship, mm-hmm. which is she let us out around the back of the building, like through the woods to this little cottage. And it looks like kind of like a church or something. Anyway, they have like some stained glass windows that are open, and you walk into this little room and they have this metal
basin.
They baptize you in beer?
No, but it's the size of a room, and it's kind of slanted, and then there's like a thing on one end that like catches the hops. And so they pump the beer that they brew out, and this thing collects the hops, and then the beer settles in this tub, and it's open air, and all it does is let the natural yeast from the wood in the ceiling, from the forest outside, comes in, inoculates the beer, and it sits in there for maybe like 18 hours. And then it gets inoculated with this natural yeast from the outside. Then they pump it back into the barrels and they age it for 16, 18 months. And,
well, and this is like the secret sauce of this brewery. Like being on the VIP tour, we got to see this. It's literally like a little house out back.
Chapel.
It's a chapel.
Cottage. Yeah,
it's like a chapel.
It's a little yeast cottage. Chapel.
Yeast chapel.
Right.
And this is, like Dallas said, I mean, this is the cool stuff that everybody at the brewery likes working there to make this stuff. It's just whatever happens, happens. They make, it's like a lambic style that they make it. They've been making this beer for hundreds of years using this style, which is sort of whatever happens, happens. The stuff that comes in from the outside. And we got to try one of their cool ship beers. I think it was a 2014 beer. And it's just a cool, unique thing that you get to try if you go to the brewery.
And they were the first brewery in the U.S. to use this method. Before that, they thought it was unique to the lambic, you know, in Belgium. And they're like, well, you know, our weather's pretty cold here. And, you know, we kind of have the right environment to do this. And so they do this a couple times a year, pump it into their barrels. They have a huge barrel aging program. Curio is all aged in Jim Beam barrels. They use each barrel just one time, pump it in, and then age it for 16 months. And then because they have different amounts of Jim Beam left in the barrels, they put it all into one, and then they will add unaged just to get the right alcohol percentage where they want it. And then, so that's how that is made. We had that on, I think, the very first show we did here. Yeah. And that was an excellent beer, too. So tons of good beer. Tour was fantastic. Couldn't have had a better experience. So if you're ever in Maine, definitely go to Allagash. Check it out.
Just from listening to you guys, I have a whole new respect for Allagash.
Oh, it's double for us. We walked out of there, and I think we were all just had a whole new respect for Allagash.
With that all said, I really like Allagash beers in general. This one, I don't like. There's something.
What?
There's like a nutmeggy. I don't know.
I'm getting like a maple finish.
It's not.
There is some spiciness here. Nutmeg or cinnamon or some type of that allspice type of taste to this.
I wasn't picking that up. I like when I first sipped it, I was like, whoa. And I think that is just, you know, going back to what Dallas said about you could probably get a little bit of palate fatigue. It was so different from everything else that we have been drinking that I was like, oh, this is good. I think I like it. I think it reminds me a little bit of Allagash White, but not as like wheaty.
Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, Allagash White is a very light Belgian style. This is more of the double style where you get a little bit more of the maltiness in there. What's the alcohol on this?
7.3.
So kind of middle of the road there. This is different because you do get those little bit of spiciness in the aftertaste.
I think there's some spiciness, but I think this is a very like citrusy beer for a non-IPA. It's floral, it's lemony, it's like grapefruit and citrus. And when I drink a beer from Allagash, I don't expect citrus. But I get a lot of citrus on this beer, and I was not expecting that. And I enjoy it. I get the peppery finish, but I think it's a lot of citrus and floral notes prior to the peppery finish.
I think it's coriander.
Yeah. Could be. I mean, coriander is what you get on the Allagash White a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not getting much citrus here. The thing that stands out to me is kind of the more caramel malt base that is a little different for this style.
I think it's a little bready. Not super bready, but it's a little bready.
A little bready.
It is. I enjoy it. So, this is a tasty beer. Allagash was a great experience. Every single beer we had there was good. I think this is a good beer. I think we enjoyed our entire trip there, and this is just a good definition of what we enjoyed from this brewery.
For sure. All right, so now we're going to venture into Vermont as a little bit of a sneak peek into our next show, although this beer is a little bit strange. We went to Hill Farmstead Brewery in Greensboro, Vermont. This place is a kind of a compound in the middle of nowhere, off the beaten path, to be sure. Tons of people there.
Woo!
I mean, there was a line of cars like you wouldn't believe. And it's definitely a beer destination for a lot of the local people. They go there, they fill up their growlers, and they head out.
Man, this smells like your mama's compost bin full of fruits and stuff. It is.
And that's not a cut.
No, I mean, there's something going. I mean, I'm not. Here's the thing: is I'm not judging it yet. Like, but you stick your nose in that glass, and it's like, man, that's something's going on in there.
It smells zesty.
In all honesty, we didn't have this beer. As Dallas said, we went to this brewery. We did not try this beer at the brewery. They have a weird system where the beers you try are these like IPAs, which we love. They were delicious. You have them on tap. They were so good. But then the beers you can buy to take home are not the same beers.
Correct. They had 8 different IPAs you could try, but then you couldn't buy any of those, and they only had different beers for sale.
So, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I smelled this beer, and I really like strange and farmhouse ale style beers. I smelled this, and I got a little concerned I might get the shits later tonight.
This is the funkiest smell. It smells like vomit. It's that funky.
No, yes. It doesn't.
It's very funky. This is
one of the strange one of the strange things that I found about this beer is that they only let you get a limited amount, and I think they let you get two. While we were sitting in line trying to get some of their ale or their IPAs that weren't available, one of the guys in line asked me, since I wasn't getting this Flora, would I mind getting this for him? They put your name on this list, and they...
They take your ID, and they limit how many you can buy.
Yeah, so...
They put you in the system.
With that being said, I really want to like this since I kind of...
They don't want you
circumvented the system for this other guy.
They don't want you getting too drunk at 4.8%.
Okay, so honestly about the smell, though, it kind of hits you. It's funky at first, right? Like maybe Brett, I don't know. It kind of smells like a Brett.
Smells like the toilet bowl after
but
that.
But if you stick your nose in your glass and you keep smelling, it almost starts to smell like candied lemon peel or something.
Covered in vomit?
That. Like it starts to smell sweet.
So before, just want to mention the color here before I forget. Very pale yellow color, very cloudy. You can't see through this at all. Just a very thin white head.
It looks kind of like what a glow stick would look like before you broke it.
A little bit, yeah. So obviously we're doing a hard shift here into a strong sour.
Yeah, and this is, so
it's fantastic.
A bold sour. It's not strong, but it's...
It is really good, but we also like sours a lot, so... Those of people who do not like sours, like Kara doesn't like sours.
I like sours, but this one's a little different.
This isn't a very intense sour, and I like it a lot.
I do get the pear taste. That's pretty very prevalent. What does it say on it?
I agree.
It had some other...
Yeah, pears and peaches and pears.
Peaches and pears. I get pear more than peach, but
yep.
There's probably a little peach in there.
Yeah, it's hard not to get like green apple notes from a sour like this, but there's that. That's why I think it's more pearish. But
it's more pearish, but you say green apple, and it immediately like, yep, that's it.
So this brewery, though, I think it's very important to note that they are very well known for their IPAs, and we went there looking for the IPAs, and they have 8 beers on tap. I think out of the 8, probably 5 were IPAs, and they were delicious. They have one in particular called Susan. It was so delicious. It was probably the best beer of our entire trip. But they don't bottle or can any of their hoppy IPAs. So we were relegated to bring back these beers that are like their sours and the non-IPAs. So that's why we brought this back. But this brewery was so good. I mean, overall... I'm curious what Hugo and Lance have to think in Dallas, but this might have been the best overall brewery that we went to on the entire trip.
Well, Susan was definitely great, and we went back to that well many times the rest of the trip.
I tend to agree. I think this is by far my favorite brewery of not just Vermont or the Northeast, but any brewery I've ever been to. But it is a little bit of a love-hate relationship with them in that I wasn't able to get as much beer as I wanted there. Unfortunately, we were relegated to having to search for this beer at other locations.
Yeah, and the 2 beer limit is pretty dumb.
Yeah, that was
like,
stupid.
Here, drink some beer, get your growler, get the hell out, make room for more people. It was very like, this actually becomes a thing later that we'll get into next week on the Vermont show. But we did a fair amount of standing in beer lines and very uniform beer dispensing. That we're not really used to here.
But, so this brewery, though, it's in the middle of nowhere, Vermont countryside, beautiful drive. I mean, we went there in October, the beautiful colors, changing of the trees. This was beautiful. I mean, the drive to this place was amazing. And I don't think we were disappointed. I mean, this was a bigger brewery than we expected. And they have a huge push for the growlers once you're there. But this place was awesome.
It was good.
It was tough to like not be able to drink everything we wanted to drink, but the beer was delicious.
Yeah.
I am curious how much a bottle this cost.
$20, more or less.
Yeah. Joel wrote a note there that it reminded him of Temptation from Russian River, and it's very similar. I think their sour program here at Hill Farmstead and Russian River is probably pretty on point.
I did not like the Russian River sours that much. I know I'm in the minority on that, I think. I like this one a lot better. I think it's more bright than the Russian River ones. The Russian River ones tend to be pretty heavy, like wine heavy, tannic. And I don't necessarily like that in their beers. I do like it in beer, just not in their beers. This one to me is really bright, slightly funky. I got like the pang on my taste buds even before I swallowed it, which I like when it hits you like right in the back of your, mm-hmm. you know, molars, you know, it's a good sour, and that's what it did. And I was reminded of Warhead candies. Like that's how sour it is right up front. And then like the more you drink it, the sweeter it gets. But yep. I think it's really good sour.
Also on the smell, it's very, very funky. Mm-hmm. But after employing Andy's three sip rule, I'm not really getting any the funkiness on the taste. I'm getting the sourness, yeah. but it's not super bready or you know, any funky yeast stuff going on.
It does leave like kind of that film on your mouth, kind of like if you eat brie cheese, you know, you get that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Britton. I'm typically not a fan of sours. With the Russian River, I found them to be overly sour. And I think Dallas did say that it's the smell was a little funkier than the taste actually was. I think the more I smelt it, the less I was inclined to want to taste it. But once I did it, I found it very pleasurable. It's actually very, very good.
Yes, definitely. Okay, well, that concludes the first half of this episode. Andy, you want to take us through the six beers we just had, and we will try and decide what our favorite beer of the day is.
Yeah, so we started off with the Wunderbar Pilsner from Smutty Nose. Then we had the Beer 5 Lager from Maine Beer Company, and we followed that with another one IPA from Maine Beer Company. Then we had the Venture IPA from Foundation Brewing, the, what's this called? 16 Counties from Allagash, and then we finished off with the Flora Farmstead Wheat Ale from Hill Farmstead.
Excellent. Let me spin the wheel here. Jeff, it's you, so spin the wheel on your side and see who of you three gets to go.
Well, here we go. All right, it's me. It's a small crowd over here. So let me first start off by saying that I really enjoyed this trip. Every single brewery we went to was delicious, maybe except for Smutty Nose. But every place was good. For tonight's show, my beer of the day is the Maine Beer Company, Another One. It was just like, you know, 7% IPA from Maine, very drinkable. It was just super well balanced. It was not bitter, completely different from the West Coast IPAs that we are used to. It was a little bit hazy and juicy, but not quite as much as some of the Vermont beers, but it was so, so delicious. And it's a beer that I could drink every single day of the week. So for me, they were all good, but I'm going to go with the Maine Beer Company, Another One.
Who's up?
I'm going to turn it over to Lance.
So for me, I'm going to agree with him on Another One being my beer of the day from Maine Beer Company, but for a different reason. And it's something that I touched on earlier. When you drink the beer, you definitely get the flavors all the way through the sip. But at once you've concluded your sip, it's that palpable break in the flavor. There's no lingering flavor on your palate that I really enjoy, and I think it's really hard to get right. And because of that, that is my beer of the day.
Okay. Hugo.
I think I'm just going to piggyback on everybody. I think I really did enjoy Maine Beer Company, and I think just the whole experience there. There wasn't a single beer that I didn't like there at Maine Beer Company. But while we were there, this is one that really did stand out. And tasting it again anew is just, it's really great beer. Like Jeff said, it is something that's easy drinking that I could have any day of the week. And It's unseasonably warm here in Southern California, and it was a great beer to drink today. So definitely beer of the day. I concur.
So Dallas, I think you need your Another One Bites the Dust soundbite, but I have to agree. That was one of the best IPAs I think I've ever had, actually. I mean, Another One Bites the Dust. But in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah. It's a great IPA. That's a top five IPA, in my opinion, in the world.
In the world.
I do agree with what everyone has chosen. As far as IPAs go, you all know I hate IPAs. This one was well balanced. It was juicy. It was hoppy, but it will not be my pick for beer of the day. I'm going to go with the Flora Farmstead Wheat Ale from Hill Farmstead Brewery. I love sours, and it's been a long time since I had one that knocked my socks off. I think back to like Love Child number 5 is probably the last one that I was just like, oh man, that's like so good. So yeah, Flora is my pick of the day. It is an excellent sour if you like sours.
Kira.
I'm going to have to go with the Wunderbar Pilsner. I kind of like the light crisp taste. Had a very light aftertaste. Wasn't too hop forward, even though I am partial to hops lately. But it was just one of those I think I can drink throughout the day, any time of the year.
All right. So on the last 10 shows we've done, I would have chosen Another One IPA as my beer of the day, stacked up against all the other beers I've had. However, today there were some phenomenal beers, and I'm going to choose Flora from Hill Farmstead Brewery. By far the best beer I've had today. That sour just dynamite. And I'm just like craving it now, wishing we had another bottle to slam to myself.
Echoing what Joel said, Another One was a fantastic, well-balanced beer, but Flora was an outstanding sour. And just on the aroma, I thought, oh, this is going to be too funky. Wrong. Just a great flavor, a meld of the different fruits that it has in there, the pear, the apple, a little peach. It's quite sour, but you can just taste the quality in that beer. Outstanding. Like Joel says, I wish I had another one.
Me three.
All right, that's going to close out part one of our New England Trip podcast. Next week, we have the Vermont segment. And that includes, well, all IPAs and double IPAs. And that's going to be fantastic. So be sure to tune in for that. We will see you then. For Jeff Miller, Lance Burks, Hugo Padilla, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Kira Hopkin, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.
I think I forgot Andy.
No, he didn't. Jeff, you need to get a fucking cup of coffee.
Yeah. You're fucking shit.